mentioned that we were about to speak with a stand-up comic, someone who has had to learn to laugh all the way up from rock bottom. She became entangled in the drug scene as she was about to appear on The Tonight Show. And now she's all about never giving in to fear, which is the title of her book. I'm so pleased to welcome to the show Marty McGibbon. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Mary.
Well, first of all, I need to apologize to you. You're not aware of the reason, but I thought you were a man. So, when I was sharing before going into the break, I said we were going to come back and I was referring to you, but I was using the male pronoun. I apologize, Marty.
That's all right. I've got a husky voice, so.
Well, that's too funny. Well, thank you for joining us. What a story you have had. And you've written a book, again, the full title of it is Never Given to Fear, Laughing All the Way Up from Rock Bottom. It's an Amazon bestseller. Take us back to when you were at one of your lowest points, Marty, if you could.
Yeah, I think rock bottom would be the being trafficked to Japan and being in the control of Japanese organized crime. But I had a lot of, you know... Yeah, I had a lot of low points. But can I just quickly tell you,
yes.
Now I'm a member of the National Speakers Association. I hold 4 professional certifications in addiction treatment, as you mentioned in my book. I've got a wonderful life right now. But back then, even though I had the Tonight Show scheduled, I was using drugs, and then my addiction escalated, and I found myself in a situation. I was in a relationship with a young man. He was a violent, handsome sociopath, I guess is the best way to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. And he had a terrible temper. He was really dominating. It was an abusive relationship. I was desperate to get out. I had the drug problem, and we were living in my car and hustling drugs just to get by day to day. I was so ashamed to call my family or any of my friends to ask for help, and I was trying to fix it. In an irrational kind of drug thinking way. And that's when I got into trouble, because traffickers actually they stalk people, and they single out the ones that are vulnerable. And this is what happened to me.
Well, you mentioned, Marty, let's go back to that. You mentioned having been kept by the Japanese mob. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, it is. What happened was I was desperate to get out of the situation with this, escape from this boyfriend and start over. And I thought if I could get to another, but I was just trying to get out. And a nefarious individual, a woman in San Francisco that I met, she sent me to Japan on the, she said it was an escort service. I knew she was sending a girl every month to be an escort. And that I cannot lie about. I would like to, you know, to say, well, it was something else. I thought I was going to be a secretary. But I did know it was an escort. But I was just so desperate to try to fix things. And I thought I could just go and no one would ever know. I went. And I had a one-way ticket. And when I got there and I met the contact, that was the thug that took me up to the place where I was then prisoner. And I was locked in this apartment. There were guards on the outside of the place. I was isolated, alone there. And I had to, they with death, they brutalized me, and I had to do what I had to do to survive. I was completely terrified.
How old were you at the time, Marty?
I was actually 30 years old.
You were?
So,
okay.
I guess old enough to know better, you people might say. I was naive, and I, like I said, was desperate to get out of it. When I got there, they liked me very much because I was tall and pretty and blonde. And but it was a nightmare. And what happened that turned everything around was I decided that I was going to keep my sanity. I thought, well, I will not let this change who I am. I am going to come through this situation, and I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to not accept anything but the fact that I'm going home for Christmas. I mean, that's what I promised myself. And it was at the beginning of November, and I said, I'm going home for Christmas, and I'm clinging to this visualization. That's it. The other thing I promised myself was that I would treat the people around me, no matter what they did to my body or what they did to me, I would treat them with respect, and I would treat myself with respect. And that I was able to do, and that was my turning point. But I clung to that visualization, and the exact perfect person to help me get out of there appeared in that place, and he helped me to escape. He had bought my freedom, is what I believe should be the truth now. I think he bought my freedom, but he got me out of there.
Oh, my goodness. How many years ago was that, may I ask, Marty?
Yes, it was in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
So after I returned to the U.S., I did what a lot of trauma victims do. I actually returned to that crazy boyfriend and to the drugs. And the boyfriend beat me up and almost killed me. And then I wandered homeless for about a year, sleeping under bridges and in abandoned houses. And that's when I met my true love. As a matter of fact, I met the man who I'm married to now, and we've been together for 25 years. But anyway, I'm talking too much. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Can you just stay on hold for just a moment? Stay with us.
Yes,
because
I can.
We have to get to the part of your story where you really turned that around, and oh my goodness, have you done that, Marty? Marty McGibbon will stay with us. Right now, let's check in with Nicole Davis. Nicole, how are those roads out there?
Well, right now, Mary, just seeing a typical
to fear, laughing all the way up from rock bottom. Continue with Marty McGibbon. Marty, thank you so much for holding on. What you endured is kind of hard to even imagine. It's like I'm not even sure how to respond to that. My goodness, my heart just goes out to you. But let's get to where you just finished saying in terms of the shift in attitude really allowed you to overcome some kind of insurmountable obstacles.
Yes. Yes. What happened is I realized that I wasn't happy. And I got down on my knees and just prayed to just God, wherever you are, whoever you are, if there is you, whatever, help me to be happy because I'm not happy. That was my prayer. And then I just moments later, my mind cleared and I realized that everything is in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And that the key to my happiness and to my destiny lay in just in that moment. And I had to make the most of that. And then I had this clear thought. It was like, hey, maybe it's the dope. And that was the first time in 9 years of struggling with drug addiction that I realized what the real problem was. And in that moment, I was able to access the beauty of that all things are possible. And like you're in your motto, Mary, is to believe in yourself. I was
yes.
able to believe in myself, and I made the move. I started to take action. I began to change the way I was thinking. My whole life had been just bad habits, bad negative thinking, thinking badly about myself, all that. I let it go. I turned it around. I just started to think positive thoughts, positive self-talk, feel good emotions, work out. I would get up in the morning, I'd do crunches, and I'd say, there's hope after dope. There's hope after dope. You know, with each crunch, I would say,
oh, good for you.
That was my first mantra. You know?
Sure.
And things began to move up from there. And
you know,
it didn't take that long because I was thinking of myself in a different way.
I love the fact that you mentioned just a moment ago, everything is in the present moment. I love it because I know it's true. I was talking before you joined us, Marty, and I wasn't speaking about you and your story. I wasn't aware of your story, but I was just talking about happiness in general. And I
yeah.
said almost those same words. It's not about what might or might not happen 6 months from now, a year from now, that
exactly.
might or may not make us happy. It's about
yeah.
right now. It's about right now.
Yes, it's not a pursuit of happiness like we've got to chase it down the road. It's actually the stopping and just accessing it now because it's a conscious decision to be happy in the moment. Am I right? I mean, have I got it right, Mary?
You have nailed it, Marty. You've hit that one out of the park. Marty McGibbon, McGibbon. There's a link to her and her book on our website, talkofconnecticut.com. We put that up this morning. So the title of your book, talk about the fear piece. It's Never Give In to Fear.
Yes, never give in to fear. Well, there were so many things in my life. There was fear and shame that dragged me into addiction and kept me there. And I think fear and shame are some of our biggest enemies that stand in our way of happiness. And actually, the title of the book I took from a piece of advice I got from an unlikely source. It was a convict in a prison, and I did a stand-up comedy show in a prison. And one of the convicts in the audience said to me those words. Said, when you get out of here, remember what you learned in here. Never let some jerk change the way you think about yourself, and never give in to fear. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to make that the title of the book, because that's one of the stories in the book.
Yes. Oh, goodness. And, you know, I get so energized, goosebumps, a lot of ways I could put it, Marty. But when I think about what we're talking about, and also the fact that, and you've touched upon this, that we all have so much more control over our lives than we realize.
Yes. The one thing we really do have power over in this chaotic universe is our own attitude.
That's right. It's everything. Yes, it is everything. Oh, my goodness. Well, and you are, this is going to sound silly, but I have a corny side to me. You're like, in my mind, the poster child for this, Marty, because most of us do not have to overcome the horrific situations that you've had to overcome, yet you are able to do it.
Yes, and nobody has to, and you know, we are all the sum of all our experiences, good and bad. And so why not love ourselves?
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Love a total.
Marty McGibbon, the book is Never Give In to Fear, Laughing All the Way Up from Rock Bottom. It is an Amazon bestseller. Would you like to share your website?
Yes. Here's a quick URL that's, it's MartyMcGibbon.com, but you can access it through www.NeverGiveInToFear.com. And to get my book, it's everywhere. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's Amazon. It's on all of the extended ebook platform, everything but Sony. And you can also call 1-800-BOOKLOG, BOOKLOG, and order. And you can go to my website, nevergiveintofear.com.
That's wonderful. Marty, thank you so much. So you sound happy these days.
Well, I am. And
I love hearing that.
As well.
I love hearing that. That is wonderful after all that you've endured. And talk about turning a corner. My goodness, Marty. Very impressive.
Well, it's wonderful to talk to you. You sound very happy yourself and have reason to be, I know, as we all do.
Yes.
And I've got a wonderful husband. My true love is he's with me. And you know, there's a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And gratitude is a huge part of it as well. Marty McGibbon, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. The book, again, is Never Give In to Fear, Laughing All the Way Up from Rock Bottom. And she certainly has been there. Marty, I've enjoyed our chat.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Well, so there you go. And I did not know, I do not have a copy of her book. I've not read it. I haven't even reviewed it. I did not know her story to that extent. And isn't that just interesting that I was talking right before I introduced her about everything being in the present moment. And some things, you know, I have to say, some things, in my opinion, you may not agree, but some things are just worthy of repeating. And wouldn't it be interesting, won't it be wonderful, I was mentioning that in the last 5 years or so that everyone is talking about happiness, writing about happiness, studying happiness. That was not the case even 10 years ago, certainly not 15 years ago. You didn't hear about it. Wouldn't it be wonderful looking down the road maybe 10 years and we don't have to talk about it because people have just gotten it. They know that it comes from within. All the books and the talking will have been effective. That will be a great day, I tell you.